I pray that God will give me God's words, and God will give you God's understanding. Amen. So, I want to talk about two things today. Firstly, justification by faith. And secondly, why it takes a long time. So, in today's passage from his wonderful letter to the Romans, Paul says that since we are justified by faith, blah, 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 blah. Justified here can be understood to be an afterlife deciding thing. Jesus died, and because we believe in his death, resurrection, then we will be okay. Now, a few people get a bit worried about this. I get people sending messages to me sometimes saying, "Can I ask you a question?" And sometimes I fall for it and say, "What?" And they say something like, "Have you considered where you will spend eternity?" As if that depended on me. Paul's first words in today's passage can be interpreted like that. If we do interpret it like that, then how much is enough? Is a little bit of faith enough? Or does it have to be a whole lot of faith, as Led Zeppelin might say? I grew up watching Blue Peter, did any of you? And I always like to make their stuff out of toilet roll tubes or washing up liquid bottles. Here's one that I made earlier. It's a believometer. You put your hand on the front bit, and then the gauge moves to show you how much faith you have. So, on this side, it's a bit like those swivelly fish where you place them on your hand at the seaside, and they swivel about to predict whether you're a red hot Romeo or a cold fish. But would anybody like a go? On this side, it's for the people who are unconscious or definitely atheist or no faith at all. And this side over here is full of faith. So these people are hanging out with Mother Julian of Norwich, maybe even the mother of Jesus. Where does the gauge land for you on a good day? Where does the gauge land for you? You can all come and have a go later if you like. But what if it doesn't depend on you at all? What about all the scriptures that say that Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it? Or when Jesus said that when he was lifted up, he would draw all people to him. Would his will be thwarted because of our absent or tiny speck of faith? Are people that powerful compared to God? Another way to understand the word justified is to be declared very good, to be declared righteous, and to be made very good, like in the words of Elohim from the creation story when God was pleased with humanity. And here is an echo of that first very good spoken into being. What God speaks comes to pass. Rather than understanding that individual humans' faith justifies each of them, another way to look at the faith that justifies us is to read it that the faithfulness of Christ has achieved this. If we take that understanding, which a number of the early church fathers did, and a number of modern theologians too, Peter, how much faith the believometer says that each one of us has. Like the bumper sticker says, Jesus saves. It's in this way that Jesus could declare from the cross, it is finished. He has spoken into being the redemption of this world from the curse of sin and death and declared it accomplished. And he has sealed that new unconditional covenant with his godly blood. What God has spoken into being will surely come to be. But if he has done that, and if that's how we do interpret the scriptures, why must we strive? Paul says further on in today's passage, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I really, really protest against the false teaching that if we have faith, we do not suffer. Paul had loads of faith, and he suffered plenty and was finally executed. Nearly all the 12 were martyred in their youth. Jesus talks about it too in the passage from Matthew. He says to the ones he sends out as his witnesses to take his good news to the ends of the earth, and he also says by extension to us, see, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to the councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. The spreading of the good news of Jesus, and people then turning to his way by participation in his kingdom, is like yeast in a bag of flour. It is spreading everywhere, but this takes time and cannot always be seen. The way of Jesus is dynamite. It was explosive enough to blow up in his face by means of Caiaphas and Pilate. It's explosive enough to blow up in ours today. The way of truth, sharing wealth and talents, walking alongside, bearing with each other, forgiving our enemies and killing no one, does not fit in so well with a world that lusts after money, sexual conquest and power. All this takes time, and through his divine conspiracy, Jesus is making all things new. We have to be made new too. We all have to be judged. Salvation comes from a root word which means to heal. And sometimes the healer has to suck out the poison or cut off diseased limbs in order to save us. Refining fire and launderer's soap are not easy to bear, but Jesus' healing will come to us all. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always materialise as he works for it. So the takeaway for today is that if you want to, you can fear that your life after death is determined by the believometer of your own faith in all its ebbs and flows. Or you can have a high regard for the person, character, plans and proclamations of Jesus. You can read the Bible's account of the Creator's plan from before time to redeem the whole world, because God loves us without exception or condition. And yes, It takes time. And yes, life sucks. But all shall be well, eventually. Amen.